Today, Project Veritas exposes taxpayer-funded human trafficking. The Senate passes the, of course, Disrespect for Marriage Act. And with GOP support, by the way, and New York City will start involuntarily hospitalizing mentally ill residents. Oh, boy, it's quite a day. We've got that and more coming up, but it all starts right now. Welcome to the news and why it matters. Happy hump day. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and I am joined today by Jason Buttrell, chief researcher of the Glenn Beck program, who looks like he's in his pajamas with this red plaid flannel, whatever. But I don't blame him because it's about 30 degrees below zero in this studio.
I wanted to wear just my t-shirt because it's perfect for our show today.
It is.
Noah was a conspiracy theorist and then it rained. You got to watch the show that we worked on for Glenn's TV tonight.
Yeah.
Blow your mind. Blow your mind.
Which is at what time?
9 p.m. Eastern time.
9 p.m. Eastern. Central. Wow, listen to Rob Eno, Blaze Media critic. He knows the lineup.
Yeah, you know.
He doesn't just criticize the mainstream media. He also apparently is an avid watcher of Blaze TV. So we appreciate it, Rob. I'm glad you're with us. All right, I want to get into Project Veritas, who, of course, was suspended from Twitter for forever and now has just recently been let back on the platform. They shared this video. They released this new video featuring whistleblower Tara Lee Rodas, who exposed human trafficking within the Department of Health and Human Services, including one 16-year-old girl who was pimped by her sponsor. Watch.
These vulnerable children, we care for them, we clothe them, we feed them. With your dollars and my dollars, we fly that product directly to the trafficker. God forbid it's sex trafficking.
Project Veritas put boots on the ground, visiting scores of addresses the whistleblower shared from case files she worked on. What we found was shocking.
¿Quién te patrocinó?
This says, who sponsored you? An aunt, but she kicked me out of her house. She was pimping me, and I didn't like that. She offered you what? She
pero ella, ¿cuántos hombres ella te obligó a estar con cuántos hombres?
How many men? Well, many. I don't remember. I didn't like what she was doing to me. She forced me.
Era tu tía?
Is she really your aunt, or is she? She said that she knew me since I was a young child, but I didn't know her.
That order of deportation to that child and say, if you do not do what I say, I'm going to call ICE on you myself.
Now, there have been rumblings of this occurring for a while now, which we, of course, have brought to you on this program, but nothing quite so solidified as a whistleblower saying, this is what we are seeing, this is what we have uncovered. And, you know, it's just so frustrating as someone who is constantly called a racist, a xenophobe, you know, all of these names for suggesting that perhaps we shouldn't be encouraging not only adults, but adults to send their own children to make this dangerous journey with a bunch of strangers who don't actually care about these young children, to turn them over to people who they don't know, who are then going to traffic them. And now we are seeing this happening. We're seeing the evidence of it. We're seeing these poor young girls. And for as much as they wanted to say about Donald Trump being, you know, all of these names, calling him all of these names, and that he was uncompassionate. He didn't care about these poor children. They were putting them in cages at the border. Yeah, they were doing that so that the kids didn't go with a stranger and get trafficked later and raped, which is what you're seeing now under the Biden administration, who apparently is complicit in all of this. Jason.
Really kind of just shocking how this administration and the left in general views our most vulnerable, mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. No matter which country you come from, whether you're American or not American, how they view kids. They're not looking into protecting them. That should be like one of their only jobs, right, is to protect citizens. Period. Really, just protect citizens, get out of our way, you know, uphold the law. But these kids are showing up a lot of times. You see reports where they'll just show up. They appear to be completely unaccompanied, and they'll have like a little thing they're wearing around their neck, or like they'll have a card, mm-hmm. that will say a person to contact. We don't know who the heck they are. HHS, Customs and Border Patrol, they don't know if that's legitimate or not, mm-hmm. and they're just going right along with it. Yeah, we're absolutely enabling, trafficking of these kids. And no matter how much, like you pointed out, no matter how many times it's been pointed out to them, multiple NGOs, multiple other groups, credible, saying that this is going on, they're doing nothing about it. It's disgusting.
And crickets from the left on this, right? Like, again, the people who claimed that they care so much about these poor children who are being ripped from their mothers at the border and thrown into a cage. And now all of a sudden, you don't hear about the fact that they're being, you know, released into the country to be raped multiple times.
Yeah, it's disgusting. And the reason, if watching more of that video in preparation to come on, the reason that she gave was her superior said, well, you know, the traffickers don't sue us, but the, you know, but other people sue us for keeping them in, you know, in detention.
Right.
It's absolutely insane. You're both right. It's everything we said that would happen. It's traffickers sending kids across the border because they're making money, and then they give them, and I had not heard about the putting the person's name on it. So we're even enabling a trafficker to get it to the person that's going to pimp the person as part of the pipeline because we're just believing what's on the it's insane. It's absolutely insane.
It's I don't know any other way to describe what's happening with our children now. Like the only way to describe it is just pure evil. Like they're encouraging pedophilia. In some cases like this, just handing them over to child sex trafficking, probably. I mean, I don't know if it sounded like that was sex trafficking, for crying out loud. I mean, what are they thinking? Like, what angle are they working there? Like, you would think that there's some group where we're trying to appease, so we don't want to piss them off. Who in the world? Yeah, like, who in the world? Like, besides the devil, who I guess is not in the world, you know, would say that this is okay. Like, I don't understand what they're doing here.
Yeah, well, I mean, to your point about all of these things, I would say, number one, when you have the entire party basically saying, we don't want to protect life when it is the most innocent and vulnerable. We actually support, you know, the killing of a child when it's in its mother's womb. Should we expect them to care about the child once it has actually been born? I would say not. But you mentioned, you know, pedophilia and all of this, you know, normalization of pedophilia. I want to go to the New York Times, who, you know, we've been covering this Balenciaga scandal here. They published an article that was called When High Fashion and QAnon Collide. And the New York Times claims that criticism of the ads from Fox News and Tucker Carlson are part of a QAnon conspiracy. That conspiracy theory that the world of influence is run by an elite cadre of pedophiles. It says the show Tucker Carlson has helped to publicize in mainstream QAnon, the internet conspiracy theory that a group of Satan worshiping elites who run a child sex ring are trying to control our politics and media. And Balenciaga is a brand that forces consumers to grapple with the very meaning of taste. So they said that it's just a firestorm. It's just a firestorm, you guys, that the right, that QAnon specifically is purporting over all of these children holding these bondage BDSM teddy bears. They said this has become one of the most explicit collisions of internet culture, politics, fashion, and conspiracy theories to date.
Where's the conspiracy? It's right there. There's no conspiracy. You know what?
There is a conspiracy by them. The conspiracy theory is just happens to be correct.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, this is conspiracy fact.
Right.
Is what this
right.
is. No, them acting the way they're doing and reporting the way they're doing, they're actually making conspiracy theorists even more emboldened. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, wait a minute. Why is the New York Times holding water for these people? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, why are they covering? That's the next jump. Why are they covering for this?
Right.
I kind of have this whole big theory. I mean... sexualizing children is such a thing now, which I cannot believe we can even say, but it's such a thing now. And somehow it's like it's in this area of they want children to be accepting of the LGBT community. So now they're like grooming them into the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, I don't know if they're brainwashed or if they really just sit around a table like this one and say, well, crap, what do we do now? Because if we call this out, then basically we're making an enemy of this really powerful lobby that we have co-opted as our own. Mm. So I don't know if they're just now scared to take a stand and say this is wrong, which in itself is evil as well.
Right.
Or what they're thinking, but they're kind of like stuck in a rock in a hard place right now. Well, it shouldn't be, but that's how they feel.
Right, yeah, what do you think, Rob?
I mean, borderline child pornography is, you know, just, it's high art. And you rubes can't understand it. The rubes in QAnon just can't understand how much high art this absolutely is. And they're too stupid to understand.
If you were an elitist like me, you would understand.
Right. That's exactly what this comes out. And that's exactly what the whole spirit cooking thing was. Oh, this wasn't a satanic, you know, throw blood everywhere thing. It was just, it's high art. Mm-hmm. And you're just too rubbish to know it. And I don't understand the whole point of the article. Are they trying to say that, like, QAnon people took Valencia to a basement of a pizza place to find some kids on the menu to take back and take pictures of them? I mean, how is this QAnon's fault?
Yeah.
Well, or is it the backlash that's QAnon's fault? Is that what they're trying to say? That there shouldn't be a backlash and it's just that, you know.
No, I think they're saying QAnon is drumming up all of this faux outrage over nothing. Is what I'm getting from that. It's just QAnon. It's either QAnon or Russia, I feel like, from the mainstream media.
It's absolutely. You come and you listen to this stuff and you just don't know what to say sometimes because it's just so absurd.
It's
so absurd.
Is Cooper Kupp in QAnon? Is Kim Kardashian in QAnon? I mean, there's people that you normally wouldn't expect to hear about this who are saying this is jacked up, guys. Mm-hmm. QAnon, what?
Now, I wouldn't give Kim Kardashian a pass on this because she was very careful to say she's currently just reassessing her relationship with them, and she isn't sure if she wants to move forward with Balenciaga.
It's like, so you're right. Like, how do you know when you're a coward? When you can't take a firm stance on something like this?
As a mother, I'm like, no, that's a very easy decision, especially if you're Kim Kardashian and you don't need the money, right? Like, that's a very, very easy decision for me. Cooper Kupp, I'll give you. Kim Kardashian, I'm not giving a pass to at all. She has completely, quite literally, sold her soul to the devil. Good luck to her, or not.
I'm just surprised she said anything at all.
Yeah,
because most of them don't.
Yeah, I think it just became too big for her to not.
Because of QAnon.
Yeah.
Obviously.
QAnon has all that power in the mainstream, you know. So speaking of this topic, the parents of a Wisconsin girl whose middle school allowed her to adopt a male name and male pronouns without the parents' knowledge or permission are taking legal action against the Kettle Moraine School District. The 12-year-old girl apparently began to experience rapid onset gender dysphoria, as well as significant anxiety and depression, which led to her being temporarily withdrawn from the school for treatment at a mental health center. At the center, she received, of course, affirmation and returned to school, requesting to go by a male name and pronouns. Her parents, based on their knowledge of their daughter and their own extensive research into the issue, did not feel that transitioning was in her best interest, probably because they were reasonable, sane people who were not mentally ill. And the school, of course, refused to honor their request and instead went ahead with the social transition. And the lawsuit states that the action seeks to vindicate one of the most fundamental constitutional rights every parent holds dear, the right to raise their children. More of these, please, please, more of these from any parent who has had to go through this because I had Chloe Cole, a detransitioner who has really been speaking out officially very recently. And she said, this is like, we have to, she's suing as well, the hospitals and all of these physicians who told her that she should transition, told her parents that she should transition without informing them of all of the risks and stuff. And she's like, we have to start suing them. We have to hit their pocketbooks for them to actually change because they're not going to change otherwise. They don't actually care about the patient, right? If they did, they wouldn't be chopping off their genitals. What they care about is the money. So you hit them in the pocketbooks and maybe they will stop. They'll still be bad people, but they'll be scared to do it.
I tell you what, back in my day, we used to be worried about like getting bad acne, you know, or something like that. Or teenage boys, if something happens and you have to stand up and go to the chalkboard and, you know, you're thinking about something else at the time, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you shouldn't at that moment. Those are the types of things you like got worried about. You're like, crap. Nowadays, they're worried if they're male or female.
Yeah.
Like, this is getting pushed from within the school system. You've seen like libs of TikTok videos. All of them are talking about, you know, the propaganda they're pushing without the parents' knowledge. You see pictures of like entire hallways adorned with LGBT flags. They're being brainwashed. This is, you see more and more stories of this coming out all the time. This is something that's being pushed systemically.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing to me that we're putting up with something like this. You know, you're talking about that school did that without the parents' consent. I remember we did a show not too long ago where we showed a Zoom call of, I think it was during COVID, so they did it on video, but someone recorded it. Was like, you remember this, like in Virginia, I think, or Illinois, I can't remember. But there was them speaking of this very specifically. And the guy they had brought in to run this like public school, elementary, middle, and high school, was brought over from a college. And they had a system in place in college if someone was thinking they had gender dysphoria. Mm. Something completely different where if an adult is going through this versus, I don't know, a 10-year-old.
Right.
But they were implementing the exact same policies in elementary, middle, and high school. And that was what they got to, is if it comes to a point where they thought that the parents wouldn't be, you know, into them changing their gender, for crying out loud, that they would just keep it a secret. And they had all these plans, including like closets of clothes so they could come in and change their clothes. This is, I mean, check your school system, because this is going around all over the place.
Yeah, which, you know, to Jason's point, Rob, I think there's this very specifically says the girl began to experience rapid onset gender dysphoria, right? Oh, all at once.
Rapid brainwashing.
Right,
well,
exactly.
Well, it's not just brainwashing. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I was obviously the most well-adjusted middle schooler and high schooler and didn't have a yearning to belong to anybody or feel affirmation, to use their words, from anybody. And I certainly didn't look to those people that were put in charge of trying to help me learn and, you know, make sure that I turned out as a good human being. And if those people had, you know, ideas for me, I might not have listened to them and said, oh yeah, I feel like a woman today. You know, that's what this is they prey on vulnerable kids. That this girl is probably vulnerable, had some issues. They see the vulnerable kid, they prey on the vulnerable kid, and they say, oh man, like, you like football, right? And like, did you play with like a Tonka truck when you were a kid? I don't know if they still have Tonka trucks, but did you play with a Tonka truck when you were a little bit longer? Or did you like to wear, you know, do you like to dig around in the dirt? Well, you know, you might really be a guy, even though, you know, not supposed to be gender stereotypes in toys or anything. You really might be a man. So we're going to send you somewhere. We don't have to tell your parents. We're just going to send you somewhere, and the school department will pay for it, so somebody will get paid for it.
Right.
And then we're going to find out. And then, yeah, it's absolutely insane. But that's what this is this is people with an agenda, and you hit it right on the head. It's about making money. I mean, you guys might remember the case of Justina Pelletier a long time ago, Children's Hospital in Boston. Mm-hmm. They just took her from the parents because they didn't believe that she actually had the disease, but they also got to do research on her and all kinds of other things that made the money. It's about making money for these people.
Yeah.
And kids don't matter.
Absolutely. All right, we got to take a quick break. First, we want to thank our sponsor, My Patriot Supply. So, guys, I don't know if you're paying attention, but there's a big diesel fuel shortage, and we have less than 25 days worth of fuel left in our national reserve. I don't feel like I have to explain this to you, because if you're watching this program, you're probably really smart. But if trucks can't deliver enough food to your local grocery stores, you're going to see major food shortages and widespread panic, which I think we saw before a couple years ago. You need to make sure that you have a stockpile of emergency food available to you. You got to go to MyPatriotSupply.com. You can save 25% on a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply, 25% off each 4-week kit you will need so you can get through winter. You can get it. They have them all: breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. They're going to ensure that you have over 2,000 calories a day for strength and energy. And they are shipping fast and free. They're going to arrive at your door unmarked, so your neighbors cannot come and mooch off of you because you planned and they didn't. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to save 25% right now. That is MyPatriotSupply.com. Yesterday, a dozen Senate Republicans joined with the Democrats in bipartisan legislation to pass the, of course, Disrespect for Marriage Act. Oh, sorry, I think it's just called the Respect for Marriage Act, in a 61-36 vote. Now, the 12 GOP senators were, of course, the usual suspects: Roy Blunt of Missouri, Richard Burr and Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Susan Collins of Maine, Joni Ernst of Iowa, Cynthia Lummis of Wyoming, Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan of Alaska, Rob Portman of Ohio, Mitt Romney of Utah.
That's going to go over well in Utah.
Mitt Romney of Utah. and Todd Young of Indiana. Now, this, of course, is expected to go through the House of Representatives, who already passed a similar bill and head to President Biden's desk. So this is going to bar states from refusing to recognize marriages from other states on the basis of factors like sex and race. It also stipulates that if marital status is a concern for any federal law, individuals should be viewed as married if their marriage was valid in the state that it occurred. Now, Senator Mike Lee, a good friend of course, this network, had proposed an amendment to the act aimed at protecting religious freedom. So the amendment would have prohibited the federal government from punishing individuals, organizations, nonprofits, and other entities based on their sincerely held religious beliefs or moral convictions about marriage by prohibiting the denial or revocation of tax-exempt status, licenses, contracts, or benefits. Just a fun fact here, the Senate rejected Mike Lee's amendment 48 to 49, even though those 12 GOP members that I just read to you, they actually voted in favor of the amendment and then turned around and voted with the Democrats to advance the bill. So these 12 good-for-nothing traitors knew that this bill has major religious liberty ramifications because the language of the bill, as written, only protects nonprofit religious organizations. It will do nothing to protect someone like Jack Phillips, the Colorado baker, whose life continues to be devastated by frivolous lawsuits brought on by the rabid LGBTQIA apostrophe plus community, who's butthurt that he doesn't want to bake a custom cake for their gay wedding, or more recently, their gender transition reveal cake. Yeah, that's a thing now because everything is stupid, so why not? Now, remember, this is all happening because one Supreme Court justice mentioned in his opinion on Dobbs, which reversed Roe versus Wade, that he thought the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage was wrong, specifically because gay marriage is not a constitutional right, not because he wants to punish the gays. Anyone who understands federalism and the way this country was set up to operate understands this. What has the government done since getting involved in marriage? Make money off of it? Check. Regulate it and control it? Check. Redefine it? Check. Anyone who understands our founding documents knows that the federal government has no business getting involved in marriage at all. And yet, these 12 spineless, useless, weak, old, nasty cowards who call themselves Republican, as if that means anything anymore, voted because they were too scared of what they might be called. Homophobic. Not me. I swear. I love everyone. Transphobic. No, I totally support your right to be mentally ill and chop off your own body parts. Sure, do it to the kids, okay? Just please don't write anything mean about me in the Washington Post. Well, to those gutless cowards who voted in favor of more big government, more tyranny, and more targeting of conservative Christians in this country, newsflash, all those mean names you were scared the left would call you if you voted no, they're still going to call you anyway. Great job, Cupcake.
So does this force churches to perform gay marriages?
So nonprofit religious organizations, are protected-ish, but it's the individuals and the social workers. So like this holds individuals like Jack Phillips and foster care agencies just like right up there to be challenged.
So I thought that it was already legal. Like what's the
they are afraid because, as I said, one Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas made one offhand remark in his opinion on Dobbs that, hey, Obergefell probably like we ruled wrongly on and we should probably correct that. And they're like, we have to codify gay marriage because the Supreme Court is going to overturn it. Even though that's not actually really happening.
I think exactly what you said is the truth, and that I really think that they're just, everyone's fighting at each other, like including people like Mitt Romney and the rest of the Republicans, on how they're going to be perceived mm-hmm. when the other person points a finger and says, mm-hmm. you're heartless, you know,
yeah.
or or you just hate these people,
right,
or whatever. They're not.
You don't want these people to be happy.
Right. They're not even thinking about, like, what does this law do for the country?
Right.
Like, does this go in line with, you know, what our country was founded on, right, i.e. not hate the gays, but i.e. Less government is better.
Exactly. Should we be giving the federal government more control over our lives?
Right. I tell you, and the people that cheer on a lot of these big government moves are going to be, they're going to feel like they've been hit with a baseball bat the next time it turns around and goes against them.
Yep.
And there's a lot of people on the right now that are exactly the same way.
Yeah, I agree. Rob.
And it's funny you bring up Mitt Romney, right? I was in Massachusetts when I'm the one that helped him become governor of Massachusetts.
No!
So you can be mad
you
at me now.
You are kicked off this program.
All right,
Rob.
I'm gonna leave.
You were that
but,
one guy.
I was that guy. Yeah, we helped him in 2002. He came and was the savior from the Olympics. But he was governor when Obergefell came down. Obergefell was the first Massachusetts. I think it was Obergefell or Goodrich was the first Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruling that legalized gay marriage in Massachusetts. And he could have done things to stop it, because there were things that he could have done administratively to make sure that didn't go into effect. He didn't. But the part about the social services is absolutely correct, because that's what they want to go after. Mm-hmm. Catholic Charities in the state of Massachusetts stopped providing foster care services and adoption services because they were told that they couldn't not place with gay couples. Mm-hmm. And that went against their core teachings. So it wasn't... And what they'll say is that Catholic Charities isn't a church, isn't a religious organization. It's an organization that gets money from the government that does a bunch
it's
of things.
It's a social services organization. And so that's...
Right.
Because, again, if you are a conservative and you believe in, all of the religious freedom, I would hope that if you call yourself conservative, you believe in religious freedom fundamentally. How could you sign on to this bill knowing that there is this, I mean, you're basically putting a target on the backs of these religious social services and the an individual. Again, I mean, I go back to the cake shop. He is not a church. He doesn't have the tax exempt status of a church, but like, he's like, yeah, you can buy a cake from me. I'm not going to deny you a cake, but I'm not going to like create something custom for you. And you can't force me to do that. They knew that it put a target on these people's backs because they voted in favor of the amendment. They just didn't care at the end of the day because they don't have the spine to stand up and say, I don't really care what you call me. We just shouldn't be doing this.
And it's interesting you bring up that case, right? Because every time a case goes against conservatives on the Supreme Court, the liberals always say, oh, that's the law now. You got to do it. You got to stick up with this. You got to do this. You can't do anything else. That's what it is. Jack the Baker gets ruling after ruling from the Supreme Court. Yep. And they keep suing him, and it keeps getting back to the Supreme Court.
They keep suing him. Literally, the gender transition reveal cake that he's literally being sued for that right now is the last one, I believe.
They just keep doing it.
Yeah,
but they know that they're not going to win, but then courts let it keep going up. It should be just dismissed.
Which is why they had an opportunity to correct that in this language. Even if you wanted to say, like, cool, gay marriage is great and we love it, which is not, I mean... If they wanted to say that, great. But they had the opportunity to say that and still protect religious liberty, and they just explicitly chose not to.
The Republicans now in both the House and the Senate really pissed me off. I mean, there are a few good ones on there right now, but it was funny as you were reading down that list. I was like, if Dr. Oz would have won, his name would have been
there with
him.
It would have been there.
Because some of the people we're throwing out there were like, how electable is this person?
Right.
Or do we think that this person's really electable in this area? Okay, let's just put him in there. Yeah, but will he caucus with us? Does he agree with us? No, but we think he can get elected there.
Right.
I mean, that is an actual Democrat strategy. I was thinking specifically of like Alaska, where they were running independents and sometimes even Republicans that they knew weren't conservative at all. All of them caucus with Democrats, but that's how they flipped a lot of states like that. You've got to watch, especially your state politics from the lower level all the way up, but you've got to watch what they're doing with that. Especially if someone's running as an independent, look at that like a hawk, because they're probably not independent at all.
Evan McMullen. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Yesterday, good old Joe Biden claimed that they, of course, the lawmakers there, they did so much. We did so much with the American Rescue Plan. It was so much so that you just no one knows the effects of it yet. Because that's how things work, I guess. Watch.
With the help of your elected leaders here today, we had an extraordinary 2 years of progress. We passed the American Rescue Plan.
Okay.
Now, everybody knows it, but we did so much, no one knows the effects of it yet. We're just coming into play.
What
that little plan did with the billions of dollars we spent is it kept tens of thousands of cops, firefighters, teachers, first responders on the job in 50 states because they lost income because of the significant reduction in employment in those states.
Did it help all of those firefighters and cops and all of teachers and all of those people that you encouraged to be fired because they wouldn't take an unnecessary jab? Did it do that? No, it didn't do anything for them. Okay, just checking. It did so much, this American Rescue Plan, so much. It was so big that you don't even know any of the effects of it yet.
That sounds like a Trump thing, right? Like, that is such, like, I read that headline, and I was like, is this Joe Biden or Trump? It's so big, so big. Yeah, it's just, it makes you laugh, you know, for the Obamacare.
I feel like crying.
No, crying laugh. But the Obamacare thing was, we have to pass it to know what's in it. Now we pass it, and we still don't know what's in it.
Right,
we still don't know if it did good. We're passing things because we think they might work, they might not work. You know, it's still early. It's been, you know, a couple months, few months. We still have record high inflation. You know, the railroads might shut down, and gas might be $75 a gallon because they're not going to be able to get oil from the, you know, the tar sands or the oil sands over to refineries and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, we passed it. It's good. It's awesome.
It's the same with the Inflation Reduction Act, air quoted. Yep. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, we still got the inflation. It's still going up. But it might be a little while before we see that kick in.
Well, you might get a tax credit if you spend $20,000-$30,000 on solar panels for your house.
I think I got that in my wallet, actually, right now.
Yeah, do you?
No problem.
Good. I mean, well, you mentioned inflation, so it's not like people would be hurting for money right now. They, of course, have that extra money to just spend on, you know, fortifying their house with a bunch of solar panels. Why not throw up some windmills while you're at it? Who knows when you might need it? And you're just like, oh, yeah, I was totally prepared to spend $30,000 more that I don't have so that I can get like a $1,200 tax credit. That makes so much sense.
The hilarious thing about everything that they're actually trying to get done, or they have pushed through, American Rescue Plan, who have you rescued? Like, Americans do not feel rescued at the moment. They're pissed off. They have no money.
Also, please stop trying to rescue me and just let me, like, take care of myself.
Right.
That's kind of why we're in the problem.
Don't need your help.
Yeah.
We'll have to use his line. And I'm not joking either. Yeah. We don't need your help.
not joking.
It's a big deal.
Not a joke. I wanna go to here, before we have to go, Bob Iger, the, of course, newly appointed CEO of Disney, who was asked by an employee about the company's commitment to LGBT storytelling. Because, you know, when you're a media company, you have to have a commitment to LGBT storytelling. And he responded affirmatively, "One of the core values of our storytelling is inclusion and acceptance and tolerance, and we can't lose that. We're not going to make everyone happy all the time, and we're not going to try to. We're certainly not going to lessen our core values in order to make everyone happy all the time." And remember, he was just brought in. He was already the CEO for like 15 years before he retired.
When?
I guess not retired, but like light retired. At like the worst time of all for Disney, which was like right before the pandemic. and then was like, oh, this guy did horrible for the last 2 years. I'll just come back, I guess. But there have been some recent video clips circling of him saying, you know, that he doesn't want to be, you know, involved in controversies and stuff. But certainly he's not backing off of his commitment to being woke.
No, that is the culture of Disney. That's who they are within their executive, you know, building. That's who they are. They are now a woke company. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was funny. They were like, oh, we're getting rid of the other guy that screwed up so much. Was it Chapek or whatever? Mm-hmm. We're getting rid of him and we're going to bring in Iger, you know, and everything's going to be different. They got political under Iger. That's when it started. And it could have been even before that, but that's when it was the most like out there in the press, under Iger. Mm-hmm. And for anyone that doesn't know, because I used to work out in Hollywood, there's a lot of other like organizations, other media organizations, other big companies that they'll go and talent hunt. They'll headhunt for like a big CEO. So let's say, hey, this guy over here at Tesla or whatever, he's like kind of knows what he's doing. Let's bring him in and have him be CEO. That's not how it works at Disney. At Disney, you have to be in the heads of multiple different, you know, departments within Disney. So you have to have like, let's say, head of the parks, then you're the CFO, then you have to be president of whatever, you know, ABC for a while, whatever, then they'll elevate you from within. So it doesn't matter who Disney brings in to try to cover up these problems. This is PR is what this is. Mm-hmm. They're not changing.
No.
The culture, and it's all those guys that have been in that circle, they just kind of rotate in and out, and then they step into CEO. It's basically all the same guy.
Yeah.
It really is. They all believe the same thing, and nothing will change.
And the one thing that he said that he's doing is that they, and Iger, I think, started right after Eisner, so
yeah.
it was 15 years. It's, you know, before the woke times. But the one thing that he said that he was doing is under Iger, or under Chapek, everything content went to a central committee.
Mm-hmm.
And everything had to go through that central committee, which is why you saw things with like Star Wars. Oh, we're going to do this movie. We're going to do this movie. We're going to do this movie. And then they'd all get canceled because the central committee would cancel. Right. So the actual heads of the different departments didn't have it. So I think that's what he meant by he's going to have changes. He's going to do that. And, but you're right. I mean, it's a core DNA. And I think that they upset a lot of people with that new movie that came out this weekend because nobody knew that it was an LGBTQ story, yeah. right?
Nobody knew. And then you had that one chick saying yeah. that they were like forcing it in under right. the radar. Like, so that's
yeah.
why it's like they're not saying it overtly, but you have in their own words
right.
from their own
yeah.
meetings how they're like, oh, yeah, we're slipping it in. And every single content that they put out, they said they were going to slip something in. And is there anything where it's not like, I don't care if it works, if it makes sense or whatever, but like in an Andor,
right, it made sense.
Got to have
yeah.
it in Andor.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's in
yeah.
every Disney product now.
Yeah.
Every.
Well, Rob, you said a lot of people were mad. I'm not sure how many people were mad because I heard that nobody actually watched the
well,
movie.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
I know we got to take a break, but this is of course Strange World, Disney's latest. Features Disney's first animated gay lead and romantic subplot, completely bombed at the box office this past weekend. They got a 5-day total of just $18.6 million domestically and had a budget of $180 million. Whoops! By the way, this is their second consecutive animated film to fail at the box office. This is after Lightyear bombed, which of course featured a same-sex kiss. But keep going, Disney. Keep, you know what? You just go ahead and you do that and you see how that works out for you. Because last time I checked, go woke, go broke. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yesterday, New York City Mayor Eric Adams said the city will begin I'm sorry, if you guys ever caught our off-air conversation, I would be in so much trouble. And we literally have them up until the point. Counting us in at like 5, 4, 3, we're still going until like just right when they say one. And then we're on. New York City Mayor Eric Adams said the city will begin to involuntarily hospitalize mentally ill residents and issued a directive to first responders outlining the procedures necessary for removing an individual for mental health concerns. Watch.
We have issued a new directive to our Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, mobile crisis teams, FDNY, EMS, and the NYPD. This directive lays out an expedited step-by-step process for involuntarily transporting a person experiencing a mental health crisis to a hospital for evaluation. It explicitly states that it is appropriate to use this process when a person refuses voluntary assistance and it appears that they are suffering from mental illness and are a danger to themselves due to an inability to meet their basic needs.
The directive instructs mobile crisis workers, police, firefighters, and EMS workers to escort or facilitate transport to the nearest hospital, to inform hospital staff of the person's condition and remain with him or her until he or she is admitted as a patient. I find this to be very transphobic because they're only offering the pronouns of he or she. And as we all know, there are about 150 million different gender identities. And once the individual has been admitted, the city would instruct the hospital to keep that person in the hospital until they are in stable condition and only release them once a long-term care plan is established. He's also announced a new hotline so that someone could call and check up on what they should do if they want to remove an individual. Things are going great in New York City.
I mean, but this is what used to happen. I mean, I don't know if you remember growing up. I'm older than a bunch of the people here.
Oh, no, like we should bring back the
Yeah, that's the thing is like this. I know we're picking on New York City here, but policy wise, this is what should happen. The reason that we have a homeless crisis is because we don't have that. Instead of putting them up in hotels.
They said it was a housing crisis. That was the only reason, right?
No.
It was because we needed affordable housing. That was the problem.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Which is why we put them in hotels and make the price of hotels go up for everybody else. But I digress. But this is good policy. This happened in the late 70s, the early 80s, where it was wrong to commit people. They put them in group homes. And then if they didn't get into group homes, they would go somewhere else.
And then they left the group home. You're
saying this is a good thing? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that there's a societal thing that having mental hospitals to take care of people so that they're not out on the streets, is a good thing.
Okay, so that sounds a whole lot better than having a new policy that where we can go out into the streets and forcibly take you if you say that, no, I don't need any medical care, I'm fine. What do they classify as and who are the Gestapo they're sending out into the streets and saying, we're taking you against your will, come with us? Mm-hmm. What classifies a mental illness? Wearing a MAGA hat? Later, will it be disinformation on the internet because you're just so crazy we have to go and take you off the street? I see what you're saying, but this kind of scares the crap out of me, especially today in Germany, which is a really, really weird coincidence that this came out and we're talking about this today. Today in Germany was their national day of action against hate speech on the internet. And what did that involve?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, National Day of Action Against Hate Speech on the Internet. The German police and government were proud of this. Did you see this?
No, it was probably all one big word put together, because that's German.
Stein.
Yeah.
What that included was over 91 acts of police enforcement going to two people's houses and sometimes taking them in for interrogation, is what it said. Mm-hmm. Basically described the Fourth Reich. Is what I described. And I had the same question that I have against for this on then. Who is saying what is hate speech?
Yeah.
How do you classify hate speech? And what gives you the right, because someone said something, to go and take them in to a police station for interrogation?
Right.
This stuff's getting scary to me. I guess that's why I have that reaction.
I'm starting
to get freaked out by how much the government thinks that they can do to force people into things.
It feels like there should be some common ground to be had, though, because I do agree. I bring back the loony bins, right? But what is the process for admitting someone against their will, because that is a problem. But to Rob's point, there were a lot of people who were, in these, I'm sorry, that was, don't call it loony bin, that's ableist, okay? I'll say crazy person's ward.
That's better.
They were brought in and then they were released onto the streets and now they're just Democrats who vote, so we need to do something about that.
But to your point,
real quick, go ahead.
To your point, too, I mean, in Canada now they're allowing you to have assisted suicide if you have a mental disorder.
So it
is different now than it was, but as public policy, as long as it's done correctly, the reason we have the crisis that we have now is directly related to mental hospitals being shut down.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be mentally ill if I lived in New York City as well. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Mentally ill now.
Oh, I'm really, really sad. I'm actually going to talk about CNN. CNN actually began a long-expected round of layoffs today as the president is trying to trim costs. So they informed CNN employees of cuts in a memo and acknowledged it will be a difficult time for everyone. Well, for everyone in the company, not for everyone. The memo said it is incredibly hard to say goodbye to any one member of the CNN team, much less many. I recently described this process as a gut punch because I know that it is how it feels for all of us and that layoffs would begin with, quote, a limited number of individuals, largely some of our paid contributors, end quote, as part of a recalibrated reporting strategy. It could not have happened to a more deserving group of people over at CNN.
They made their bed, they need to lie in it, enjoy it. They need to go back to being like a global news network, right? Like the network that had like CNN, you know, Iraq, you know, footage for the very first, go back to like, there's that one chick that was in Afghanistan, Kabul, who's awesome. She does a lot of cool, that's what they need to focus on.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're trying to do, especially when they say that the paid contributors, the talking heads, that have contracts are the first ones to go.
Yeah.
Bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if that works out for them, because I'm pretty sure Americans just don't trust the name CNN at all anymore. Thanks, guys.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.